Thank you for coming to Landmark Baptist Church's annual Christmas play. It is a packed house tonight, or not tonight, this morning. It's good to see everybody out. Thank you, families, for coming out and seeing your kids in the Christmas play. They've done a lot of hard work. They've put a lot of effort into it. A lot of tears have been shed, not just by the workers, but we have a good play today for you. I know, and you know, that animals can't really talk. But what if they could? What if animals had been able to tell the Christmas story of that first Christmas long, long ago? What if the angel, or not the angel, what if the donkey and the cow and the sheep and the dove could tell the story of the Christmas manger long, long ago?
And it came to pass that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And so it was, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Moo, I never saw a human so weary as that lady.
Bad night it was for her. But donkey, you should know how far she came, for you came that far yourself. How long were you on the road with that sad-faced man and that weary woman?
Don't bother me. I'm eating. Eat-aw.
Coo. I'm so glad I'm only a bird sitting in my nest, singing to my brood so much sweeter than traveling miles and miles away to a strange city far from home.
Listen here, Dovey. You don't know the half of it. It's a rough road between here and Nazareth, where Joseph and Mary set out, those are their names. Joseph, he's a good man, a carpenter. He smells of sawdust most days. But he's kind to me, been kind to Mary, too. She was espoused to him when news came of the baby.
Bad, espoused? Is that good or bad?
Aw, silly sheep. Espoused means she was to be his wife. And so she is, now that he's taken her. They'll go back home once the taxes are paid to Caesar the Gusty. He's the reason why they had to come here.
Did you say the Gusty?
Uh-huh. They call him Augustus. But if you ever heard him speak, you know it should be the Gusty.
Eek-aw.
But I don't know how they'll pay anything to anyone. Dirt poor they are.
Moo. How peaceful the little mother looks lying there.
Coo. Her voice is surely the sweetest sound the little one waiting to be born has ever heard. So soft and so smooth and soothing, she makes me want to sing a lullaby too.
Moo, why don't you sing us all to sleep tonight, Dove?
Coo, coo, coo. It's the middle of the night. I say let's forget about the sound and go back to sleep.
Moo, maybe we should. But Dove said she was sure she heard a strange noise in the inner stall. It woke you up, right, Dove?
Ooh, the noise was so unusual. It sounded like no animal I've ever heard before.
But you don't hear anything now.
Maybe it'll come soon again. Listen.
Nothing as far as I can hear.
No, I don't hear it now either.
Move over so I can hold my ear close.
Back down, cow. Your place is at the bottom of the wooden gate. Between the boards. It may be tight, but we all have to share the space.
I still say she didn't hear anything.
Coo. I'm sure I heard a still small cry.
Maybe so, and maybe not, but it's pitch black in the inner stall. If we can't see anything, we might as well settle back into our separate stalls.
Ooh, look! Oh, sorry. Ooh, there it is, a tiny little voice so soft and low.
Like no animal I've ever heard.
Ooh, look, the man has lit an oil lamp to bring to his wife.
She's holding something close like she's afraid she'll lose it. I thought you said they had nothing as value with them, donkey.
It's the truth. They brought nothing with them.
Well, they surely have something now. Will you look at that? There's a little hand, fingers stretching up as if to reach for the star that shines so brightly through the window. Look at the tiny fingers and the rosy, rounded elbow of the little arm. Aw, she's bundled him up in some tufts of wool for me.
Moo, I can't see the face. Dove, can you?
No, she's holding the bundle too close to be seen.
Maybe with the rising sun we'll see the precious treasure. Donkey, why did they come to our stable on such a night as this? With a baby on the way.
Well, they asked to stay in the inn, but there was no place for them.
No place for such a little mother about to give birth? I'll never understand humans. We're only barn creatures, but we all have a home when our young ones arrive.
And they're in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told unto them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Move over, donkey, and let me see the shepherds.
Well, you can look for yourself, but you won't see them. They already left. And not too soon for me. They were so timid you could hardly hear what they said.
Back to the hills to care for their flock.
But they were so happy. Did you see their eyes? Just imagine what they saw last night. Angels filling the night sky with shining lights, and what they heard, glorious tones of angelic voices crying out glory to God in the highest.
Moo, and what else did they say?
Coo, on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Then back to the sky they went.
But why did they come to shepherds, of all people?
Back off the shepherd's cow.
No, I only mean that they aren't the famous or the wealthy. They're just simple folk who love and care for their sheep. Why would God announce the birth of his son to them?
Ooh, I think I can answer. God uses humble things to accomplish his will. That's why he gets the glory.
I still say it doesn't make any sense at all. The King of Kings makes his grand entrance to earth in a humble manger, surrounded by lowly animals and simple shepherds.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
Did you see those men who came to see baby Jesus?
Those are the wise men.
Where did you come from, Camel?
Hello, Camel. Did you come with the wise men to see Jesus?
Yes, we followed the star to find Jesus. The wise men had to ride us some of the way because they got tired. But camels get tired, too.
They must have come from a very far place. They didn't look like they were from around here.
We came very far, and you know what? It's a pain in the neck to follow a star.
Moo. But I guess the wise men were wise enough to know that Jesus was born to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and it was worth the long trip to bring him presents.
And did you see the gifts they took into the house? They looked expensive.
They wanted to give Jesus the best gifts they had.
More than anything else, I wish I could have given something to the family for the Son of God who was born so poor.
Yeah, but what would you have to give?
I was going to give him some hay, but he doesn't have any teeth to chew it with.
Aw, don't worry. His mother's making sure he won't go hungry, but I sure am starved. Could I have some of your hay?
Stop thinking about your stomach, donkey. Cow, don't you realize the gift you've already given the baby?
Me? A gift for the baby? Really?
Whose food trough was he lying in?
Well, mine.
You gave up your manger so he could have a cradle.
I did, didn't I? He slept his first night in my manger.
And how about you, sheep?
What about me? I didn't give up anything for the baby. I wish I had.
Coo. But you did, sheep.
What did I give him?
You saw what they wrapped the baby to keep him warm, coo?
Well, that was just tufts of wool left over from shearing. No sacrifice.
But it came from you, and it kept him from shivering in the night.
It did help to pad his swaddling clothes in the rough manger.
Coo, I'm the only one who gave nothing.
Moo, you're forgetting the lullaby you sang so beautifully for him.
But that was just cooing. I do that every morning.
But it sounded so sweet and soothing in the middle of the night.
Coo. I guess it was a strange time to sing.
Well, in case anyone cares to notice, I gave the baby something too.
You?
What did you give, donkey?
He would have never made it to Bethlehem if his mother had to walk here.
Oh, donkey, our gifts cost so little. You gave something that cost more than a manger or a song or even tufts of wool.
Really?
Coo. It's what any of God's creatures can give to him.
Me? What was my gift?
Obedience. Coo. If you hadn't been willing to walk where you were told, they would have never had made it to Bethlehem.
I gave the costliest gift of all. I'm the greatest giver here. Aw.
Donkey, obedience you have. Next thing we'll work on is humility.
Thank you.
All right, now it's working. All right, can we give a big round of applause to our actors and our kids? As Pastor comes up, as Pastor Parsons comes up, I just want to say the inns were crowded that night that Jesus was born. The stables had been crowded too, but the animals still gave something to Jesus. And this Christmas time, the most precious thing that we can give to Jesus is our heart. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So you see, God's gift to us is everlasting life. But to receive the free gift of salvation, we must put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. If you've never done that today, we would love to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you can go to heaven. As Pastor Parsons comes up here, we want to thank you and say Merry Christmas from the Children's Department.
Let's give them another round of applause. Our young people did a wonderful job of showing us exactly that Jesus came just like the Bible said he would. It predicted over and over and over again from the book of Genesis on that a Redeemer would come, and he came in the form of a babe, the Son of God who died on Calvary and paid our sin debt. Sometimes Christmas time comes and goes and we think that Jesus is still the babe in the manger, but he came, according to Luke 19:10, to seek and to save that which was lost. And that babe that was born in the manger that day, so many things were given to him. And I can tell you and I'll remind you, I've told the church many times, but if you're visiting with us, let me tell you for the very first time. I remember the day that I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. I remember the day that I had been religious, I had gone to church, and all those things, thinking that my religion would save me or my church attendance would save me. And I remember having all this knowledge of the babe in the manger and how he lived his life, and he was God's son. But I had never made it personal. I had never accepted Christ as my own personal Savior. And let me tell you today, it's not religion that gets anyone to heaven. It's not a head full of knowledge about the Bible or the works that we've done. It is accepting Jesus as our Savior. It's asking him to be our propitiation or our salvation, letting him seek and save that which was lost. I remember the day I came to the altar and I bowed my head and I did what the Bible says in Romans 10:9. I confess with my mouth that Jesus was the Savior of the world. He was the very Son of God. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead. According to Romans 10:9, it says, "And if you'll do that, thou shalt be saved." That's not a maybe be saved, but shout, according to the scripture. If you're here today, you don't have to have a head full of knowledge. You say, "Preacher, this is my very first time in church." You don't have to know everything. You have to know that Jesus is the Son of God. It was shown today. It's throughout the scripture. And people during this time of year have nativity scenes in their front yard telling the world that Jesus came. And then we have a time of year we call Easter, and there's crosses everywhere, letting us know that that same babe that came at Christmas time went all the way to Calvary and paid our sin debt. But many times, if you get some people who are real believers and understand, they'll also have beside that cross that's empty an empty tomb. Because Jesus did die for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day. And he lives today seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for you to call upon his name. And he'll save you if you'll do that. This morning, would you stand to your feet with me? We're going to have an invitation. If you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as your Savior, today we'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. The young people have helped tell the story of Jesus. Would you accept him this morning if you've never accepted him? We'd love for to be able to share the gospel. We've told you about it, but let us take the Bible and show you so you can know for sure that heaven is your home. Brother Bert's going to sing while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to pray. When I finish praying, he's going to sing. Would you step out and come after I pray? Dear God, I pray this morning that if there's someone here in our midst that, God, that they don't know Christ as Savior, that today they wouldn't put it off another day. They've seen that your Son has come. They know that He rose again from death on the cross. Lord, I pray that they would not put it off another day, but today, this day that we've worshiped You, Lord, and You're coming, Lord, help us today to put our faith and trust in You for the new year, for the next step of our life, maybe today for salvation. Lord, if they're here and they need to be saved, I pray You'd save them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Bert, would you sing? If you're here this morning, you need Jesus to save you, would you step out and come? We'll take the Bible and show you how.